prayer. Father, we pause for a moment this morning again to praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Father, as we study this gospel, the gospel of John, and think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was with you in the beginning and left his throne there in heaven and came down here to earth to dwell among men. And he was not even recognized. Father, didn't know who he was. And Father, the world is just as blind today as they were those 2,000 years ago when he entered into this world. And so this morning as we gather, your children gather together, we'd ask that you would enlighten us, that we might see the truth, that our hearts might be open to that word, and that that word might have an effect upon us, that we might realize who we serve and who has worked in us to accomplish his purposes and plans. Pray for those who are away, and we'd ask, Father, that you would give them travel mercies as they move about, and as they come back to us, we'd ask, Father, that you would minister to them. And we'll thank you for all that you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a mention to you, I got an email this past week. I don't know if I sent that out to everyone or not, but Jack Phillips, they moved to Florida. He had to come back for this operation. He has an aneurysm somewhere near his heart. And he came back on Thursday, flew back in on Thursday. They had the operation on Friday morning. I have not heard anything how he's doing. I must contact them, but their home is now in Boca Raton, Florida. And they're up in Maryland. I think they're living with Jessica, their daughter, for a few days, maybe 2 weeks, while he recuperates before he can go back. So you might remember them in prayer. I'm sure they would appreciate that very much. We're in John chapter 1. We're looking in verses 9 to 13, the coming of the light. We actually are down in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mentioned to you last week that the emphasis in this verse is upon the world. And the phrases as they're established as they go through, in the world he was. In the world he was. And the world by him was made. And the world, him, they did not know. Or it did not know. It's the world did not know. They did not know who he was. So the emphasis there, the word world in this passage, of course, could refer to the globe upon the earth upon which we live. He was in the world, or it could be that he was among the world, the inhabitants of the world. Both of those are legitimate. In some cases, it has to be the inhabitants of the world. The inhabitants did not know him. But in the first one, it could be, the first two, the word world could refer to this globe upon which we live. In the world he was, and the world by him was made. Of course, it applies both to the inhabitants and to the globe in which we live. And the Logos was in the world for approximately 33 years. We don't know exactly when he died. We know the pretty close to the exact date, but we don't know his birth date. Traditionally, it's December 25th, but the year is unbeknownst to me. I mentioned a few maybe a month ago that he was born probably about 6 B.C. And someone said, how can that be? That was before he was born. And I said, well, the calendar changed. The Gregorian calendar over the years has changed. And the dating it crossed over somewhere along the line. B.C. and A.D. Was added to it. So the dates are not accurate, but probably was born about 6 B.C., died probably about 27 A.D. as we would count it, but there were 33 years in there, approximately 33 years that the Lord Jesus Christ lived upon this earth. He was announced by the angels when he was born. You remember the shepherds up in the mountains. The angels came and announced to him the birth of Jesus Christ. And so there was an announcement, and the light came, and then the Magi came, and 2 years later, and they recognized that that he was in the world, and it's amazing that they would understand that, and yet Israel did not understand it; they did not know him. But nonetheless, he was there. And when he began his ministry, remember John the Baptist went forth; he was the forerunner, and he proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, the one who is to come, and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the one that comes is mightier than I am. And his shoes, I'm not even fit to untie. So there was an announcement. Probably nothing like we think. This past week, I was thinking of the announcement. You remember about a year ago, there was the birth of a little boy in England. Prince George, is that his name? Prince William, and what is her name? I have it somewhere in my notes. But anyway, Sarah, is it Sarah? What's his wife's name? What is it? Kate, yeah. Kate. Anyway, Kate, there was so much to do about it. I mean, you couldn't turn on the TV without hearing something about she's pregnant and she's going to give birth, and then the anticipation, what's it going to be? And then they found out it was a boy, and the great anticipation, and then it was born. It was all over the news. You couldn't miss it. Matter of fact, I got sick of watching it. I mean, it was just so much. And here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes onto this earth, and we have a few shepherds that it's announced to. Come in a very humble manner. And then the Magi recognize him. And then here is this one that came in camel's hair and eating locusts and honey and nothing to look at. But he announced the coming of the Messiah. You see, there should have been no question in the minds of the world, at least Israel, that the Messiah was in the world. He showed himself. He proved himself. He performed miracles, and they denied them. They said, "Well, they're not miracles." He cast out the demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. That's where his power comes from. So they missed him. He was the creator. The world through him was made. Made is a word, ginomai. It means to become or to come into existence, then to make. It was used in John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, all things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Three times in that verse it's used. It was made by him. I gave you some emphasis on that because nowhere in the scripture does it say that he created it. It says that it was made by him, or the word thereby is dia, through him. He was a channel through which God created the earth, and the heavens and the earth. And so he is the one who is the one through whom this world came into existence. It was made by him or through him. The third statement is an interesting statement. The world him did not know. The two emphatic words in that statement, the word world is emphatic, being first, and him, we would say we did not know him. And you'd put the him on the end, but the Greeks, when they wanted to emphasize something, would move the words around a little bit. And oftentimes the words that appeared first were emphatic in the verse. And so that's what he's doing here. The world, emphasis again, the cosmos, did not know him, or him they did not know, or it did not know. Both these words are very emphatic in the Greek. The word know is the word gnosko. You're familiar with that word. We've taught that over the years. There's a couple of words for knowledge or knowing. Gnosko is experiential knowledge, something you learn by experience, by seeing it and touching it and feeling it and listening to it or whatever it might be, and you learn by experience. That's the word that's used here. It's an aorist tense, and it shows a point in time. The world made a definite commitment. They did not. They had no knowledge of him at all. They did not experience anything. The world never recognized who Jesus was, in spite of all the evidence that was given. All that evidence came, and they did not recognize him. I mentioned, I think, also last week that it's interesting that right in the middle of that, he was in the world, and the world did not know him. Now, that's pretty sad. He was in the world did not know him. But when you put the verse, the world through him was made, when you put that in the midst of that, you see the harsh reality, the tragedy that came. Here he was, he made the world. And he was in the world, and he made the world, and the world did not know him, did not recognize their creator. How could the world miss him? The world saw the light shining. If you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, Matthew 4, 16, it says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the regions in the shadow of death, light has dawned. So there was light. Did you ever, I don't see it very often anymore, but oftentimes there's you see a spotlight in the sky. You ever see that? Someone, you see this light circling around in the sky, and this big spotlight, and you say, what's your first reaction? What is it? What is it? Where is it coming from? What's it for? I don't know how many times when I've seen that light over the years that I have gotten in my car and drove to see where that light was coming from. I was curious. Did you ever do that? I think most of you have. And you drive out and you're trying to find out where it's coming from, and you make a few turns, and finally you come to it, and it's some store, you know, mattress store having a sale or whatever it is. But you want to see, you're curious. And here the light came into the world. And there was no curiosity. The only people that were interested were the Magi. See, they denied any light. They either think they can get to heaven on their own, they're working on it on themselves, or they're simply, God does not exist. There's nothing, that light didn't come from anywhere. Doesn't mean anything. I've written a few verses down if you want to follow through with me as I read them. Psalm 14, verses 1 to 3 says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand. The world does not know him. See, do they know him? No, they don't understand. There's none that seeketh after him, who understand, who seek God. They are all turned aside. They are to have together become corrupt, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. What's the story with the world? I mean, the world was made by him, and the light came, and it didn't. There wasn't any curiosity. Who is this? What does this mean? Psalm 10, verse 4 says, the wicked in his pride, in his proud countenance, does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. You see, the world is spiritually dead, and they still are. Nothing's improved. They're still spiritually dead. The world has no curiosity whatsoever. You would think that as the light goes out, that the world will want to know, where is it coming from? What does it mean? There are fallen natures. Of course, they're corrupt. Their sinful natures are dead to God. They have no recognition of God. So there's no desire on their part to seek out God. They don't care. They can get there on their own. They don't need God. They don't need the light. They'll grope around in the darkness hoping they'll find their way. And to many of them, they think that there's many ways. So it doesn't really matter as long as we're seeking. But they're not seeking God. There's none that seeks after him. So he was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world did not know him. What a sad tragedy that was. In verse 11, let's move on to verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. When John wrote this verse, when he wrote this book, but this particular verse, This is a better part of a century has passed by. I mean, he was born 6 B.C. It was written about 90 A.D. or somewhere in the 90s. So almost 100 years have passed since the birth of Christ. Almost 70 years have passed since he was crucified. And yet, in these words, the apostle seems to be struck with a marvel that God's own people, Israel, did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Seems to be a marvel as far as John is concerned. He can't grasp that in his mind. God's chosen people. They should have been the first ones to know him. They should have recognized him immediately. See, there was a problem. Will you turn to John chapter 5 with me? There was a problem with Israel. And the problem is here. John writes this in verse 38. John 5, 38 and 39. It says, "But you do not have his word dwelling in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." Had they had the word dwelling in, if they knew the word, they would have recognized him immediately. But they did not. He came to his own. Literally it says, unto his own he came. Again, the emphasis on unto his own he came. It would be one thing to come into the masses of the world. I mean, to go into the world and the world not recognize him. But he came to his own people. His own people. The Gentile world certainly wouldn't know him. That's what he told us in verse 10. The world knew him not. Because they had no promise. Israel had the promise that he was going to send his son. He was going to send the Messiah. And he would deliver them. And when he came, no curiosity. No understanding of the scriptures. Will you turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 with me? This is the Davidic covenant back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And God promising to David that his son would have a throne forever. And in that midst of that whole passage, the prophecy sort of shifts back and forth to David's son Solomon and then to a future son that comes from the seed of David, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you read this, you have to realize that in this prophecy, it's a far view as well as a short view, but it's very clear. Verse 11 says, "Even from the day that I command judges to be over the people of Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. And the Lord also declared unto you that the Lord will make a house for you. And when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom." Now you could say that's Solomon, and that's true. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me," God says. "When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men." And again, you see the shift back to Solomon and how God disciplined Solomon. "And I will correct him with the rod and with the strokes of the sons of men." The 2 Samuel chapter 7, drop down to verse 16. "And your house and your kingdom will be established forever before you. And your throne will be established forever." What a promise that is to Israel. And his son came and they didn't recognize him. They had no idea who he was. The word did not dwell in them, is what Solomon says. Look back at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I'll take you through a few verses very quickly. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." How could they miss that? Born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." They missed it. We studied Micah chapter 5 many years ago, but it says, "But you," we heard this at Christmas time, "but you, Bethlehem of Ephratah, through you are little among, though you be the little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting." You see that they didn't read the signs. They didn't know the word. And so when he came, they didn't know who he was. They had no idea. Isn't it amazing that the Magi could read the signs in the heavens and follow the star and ask, "Where is this one born, the King of the Jews?" So he came, and his own did not receive him. His own refers to the nation Israel, his own people, his own blood, so to speak. Did not receive him. The word "receive" here is the word paralambano. It means to take to or to take to oneself and to accept or acknowledge one to be such as he professes to be. Thought that's interesting. Here he came, and he came as the Messiah of Israel to bring peace, and they would not accept him. They would not receive him. But see, not only didn't they receive him, but they crucified him. Now, they didn't personally drive the nails in. They didn't lift that cross up and put it into the ground. But notice what the scriptures say in John chapter 19, verses 14 through 16. Now it was the day of the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he, that is Pilate, said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to the soldiers. He delivered them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. You see, they didn't crucify him, but they wanted him crucified. They turned that right over to Roman law prohibited them from taking a life. Although they didn't follow that law, they could have crucified them. Do you remember in John 18, verse 31, it says, "Then Pilate said, 'You take him and judge him according to your law.'" They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to do that. They were too proud. They didn't want his blood on their hands. Therefore, the Jews said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." So you take him and you crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And although the Romans crucified the Lord Jesus, it was Israel who gave them over to be crucified, and they were guilty of it. Peter actually accused them of crucifying the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, here's what Peter says. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God or proven by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, and you yourselves also know." See, they saw the miracles. They understood the miracles. They denied the miracles, but they didn't want him. God attested or proved of him by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. You see, Israel was looking for a mighty king. They were looking for a warrior. They were looking for a king like David, who would go out and conquer the Gentile nations, the nations around them. That's what they were looking for. They wanted to be delivered out of the oppression of the Romans. But he did not come as a mighty warrior. He didn't come to judge the nation Israel, or the Gentile nations. He came and he put the spotlight on Israel. And what it showed was that Israel, they didn't want what they saw. See, they thought that the Romans were the sinners. They thought the Romans needed to repent. And Jesus turned the spotlight on them and said, "You're the sinners, you need to repent." And they didn't want to hear that. That was for the Gentiles. That isn't for us. We're righteous. We're righteous. We don't need that. We don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about repentance for the nation. That's not on our part. That's the Gentiles need that. The leaders of Israel were full of their own schemes and pursuits. They looked at him as a weak man, unable to help himself. You remember what they said when he was on the cross? He delivered others, but now deliver himself. Saved others. Now let him save himself. Here he is hanging on the cross, dying for them, and they're mocking him. They did not recognize who he was. What a sad commentary on the nation of Israel. Came under his own, and his own did not know him. They would not receive him. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, as many as received him. There were some. The words as many as, it is a Greek pronoun. It's O-S-O-S or H-O-S-O-S. Hosos. It does not specify a number. It could be any number. It could be 2 or it could be 1,000. But as many as there were. It could be 1 for that matter. But it didn't matter. The number was not important. But as many as received him. Do you think that God left the number who would receive him to chance? Do you think that as many as received him, do you think that as many as God says, well, I don't know who's going to do it, but let me see. I hope some do. God didn't leave it by chance. Look down at the next verse. We won't go down to verse 13. It says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, that many that God was working, he made choices. And it was not by chance that there were some. As many as there were, I don't know how many there were, but as many as there were who received him, God didn't leave that to chance. That was established in eternity. Who was going to receive him? As many as received him. Word there is lambano. We had para lambano in the last verse. The world did not receive him. Now the nation did not receive him. But as many as did receive him. It means to grasp a hold of, or to lay hold of, or even to take captive. Anyone that wrapped their arms around him and grasped him tightly, those are the ones. Those are the ones. They received him. They grasped a hold of him tightly. Some commentators, there are two words there. The world did not receive him, and his own did not receive him. And some say, well, the word paralambano refers to the Jews. They should have recognized him, but they didn't, and so they rejected him. They did not receive him. The world did not receive him, but as many as did receive him, as many as did. Whether it's Jew or Gentile, it didn't matter. Who made up that as many as? Was it all Israel? I don't know. I would venture to say that there were Gentiles who accepted Jesus as the Son of God, and there were Jews who accepted him as the Son of God. I don't know how many, but as many as did. He gave the power to become the children of God. He bestowed that power upon them. The word give there means to give someone something or to bestow something upon someone. And he bestowed this power upon them. The word that's used there is ekousia. It means a delegated authority. God delegated authority to these people to be called the sons, the children of God. Not the sons of God, but the children of God. Pass that over to him. Our time is up. We'll have to pick up there next time. We'll look at that in a little bit more detail. Father, we do thank you again for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you saw fit to shine that light in our hearts that we might see him, that you enlightened us to the truth, that we recognized who Jesus Christ was and we received him as our Savior and we became your children, the children of God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.